Today on episode number 418 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/418, we've got a seriously wow, like one of my favorite ever because of my podcast stories from Kevin Mulrine from the Yes Music podcast. We're going to talk about, hey, how long does it take to be an overnight sensation? And we've got an interview with Nick from the Side Hustle Show, but he's also the author of the book Work Smarter, 350 Online Resources. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so very, very much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, look, I've been teaching technology for about 20, 25 years, something like that. And I come along and we talk about all things podcasting, from how to plan it, what kind of gear do you need, how do I get the word out about it, and I flatten the learning curve, and I get you on your way to pain-free podcasting. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com, and I guess before we should probably address that. It is July 19th as I record this, and here's a fun one. Because of podcasting, my website has become so popular that it got shut down. Yeah, I was using shared hosting, and I'm working with my web host as we speak, and I saw the writing on the wall. I've actually ordered to move to a virtual private server. Didn't move quite fast enough, and woke up today, and pretty much every single website I have is down. And I'm not happy about that. It's the only thing that's good about it is it's because I'm basically just getting too much traffic. And I have numerous accounts under the one thing. So it's good to maybe have two or three, but not, I don't know, 15. Yeah. So if you're a member of the School of Podcasting, if you've been trying to go to the School of Podcasting this weekend, my apologies. And I'm hoping that it will be up by the time it comes time to publish this little bad boy. But if you're wondering, hey, Dave, what's going on with your website? That's it. It's a good problem to have. But in the meantime, it is what it is. So thanks to everyone for their patience during that whole thing. And here's the thing. Normally, I email through the School of Podcasting to the members. And so I had my Facebook group, our private Facebook group, and I put some things on Google+. I announced it on the Ask the Podcast Coach show, which, of course, that website was down today. So it's been a fun little weekend, and I just wanted to say thanks to everybody. But let's get on to bigger and brighter news. And this is what's really, I love this story. Number one, I love this dude. He's cool. Kevin Mulrine does the Yes Music podcast. And this is going to lead in very nicely to our discussion today about how long does it take to be an overnight sensation. So here is because of my podcast. And if you can answer this question, whatever it is, we've heard it open doors. We've heard it, I got a job once teaching in a college because I knew how to podcast. And today, well, Kevin is now officially number one, talking to probably one of the favorite people in his world. You'll hear about that in a second. And again, another example of somebody being the official media. Check this out. Take it away, Kevin.
Hello, Dave. This is Kevin Mulrine from the Yes Music podcast. I just thought I'd send you a because of my podcast for the School of Podcasting. As I'm sure you'll remember, Dave, you started me off on my podcasting journey way back in August 2011.
Was it really, seriously, like, what is that, 3 years ago? Wow. Okay, cool.
When I attended your free podcast boot camp all the way from over the pond here in the UK.
That was an experiment I tried. I did a boot camp and it was free. And it worked. We had great people like Kevin in that. But that was the one and only free podcast boot camp.
As part of that free podcast boot camp, we had to start our own podcast. And I've told this story many times before, but
it's a great story.
Things have been happening recently, which I thought you'd like to know about.
Yes.
As part of that, as part of that course, I started the Yes Music podcast. And as soon as I did that, I got in touch with the publicity unit of the band. And they were at first very, very dismissive of what I was doing. I only had a few listeners, obviously. Everyone starts from zero with listeners when they start. But over the years, I've built that up now. and I have, you know, a few hundred ardent Yes fans listening every week, and a lot of them do send me feedback. So over 150 episodes later, I finally got to have a telephone interview with a member of the band, which was really quite remarkable. I can't really believe it happened even now.
How cool is that? He finally got, because I told him, I said, I bet someday you'll get a band on here. And he did. That is so awesome.
Even though I know it has happened because the episode has been posted. And I seem to be part of the official media now, at least as far as Yes is concerned. I get all the press releases. I've been offered 2 copies of the new album to give away on the podcast. And I keep in touch regularly with the publicity unit. However,
that's awesome.
Much more importantly than that is the interaction I have with the listeners.
Now, wait till you hear this part. Like that right there, that's a great because of my podcast story. But wait, there's more. Listen to the loyalty of his audience and how it was his audience that more than likely enabled him to get somebody from the band on the show. This is awesome.
I'll give you a couple of examples of that.
Yeah.
I was going to see Yes live in the UK when they were doing on their world tour. As I was preparing for that and explained to the listeners that I was going in May to see Yes with my son, one of the listeners had the idea of me creating Yes Music Podcast t-shirts. So that came from the audience, from my listeners. And so I did that and was amazed to see that not very many, but some people actually bought these t-shirts. And when I went to the concert in Birmingham, someone who's been listening since episode 1 of the podcast turned up in a Yes Music Podcast t-shirt, and his wife was also wearing a Yes Music Podcast t-shirt, which was very exciting. Someone came to me, I was wearing my Yes Music Podcast t-shirt, and someone came up to me after the concert and said how much he loved the podcast, which was very exciting indeed. Also, with this Yes Music Podcast t-shirt theme, one of the listeners made a tiny little video of himself doing a kind of superhero change into a Yes Music Podcast t-shirt, which is very, very, very funny and very kind of him to do that. He wore his to the Royal Albert Hall concert of the band. And finally on this, because of my podcast story with these t-shirts, one fan, Yes fan, and listener to the Yes Music Podcast bought a t-shirt, wore it to his local concert of the band in the Netherlands, and went to a meet and greet with the band afterwards, at which he talked to the band about the podcast. And I think that's what made the difference between being chosen as one of the lucky ones to interview the band and not. So shortly after that, I was contacted by the publicity unit and offered a telephone interview with Jeff Downs, the keyboard player, who you probably will have heard of because he was the first keyboard player, in fact, the first musician.
On MTV, I know this one.
To play on MTV, because the first track that they played on MTV was
Video Killed the Radio Star. Second one, Pat Benatar. You Better Run, if I remember right.
Video Killed the Radio Star, and that was Jeff Downs in the Buggles. So I spoke to him on the phone, which was a huge thrill for me. And of course, it was all because of my podcast.
Excellent! I want applause. That was an awesome story. That was really, really cool, wasn't it? Oh, think about getting to interview. It's hard to fathom that. That would be like me interviewing, I don't know, Adam Curry, who I've hung out with when he came through town. But it's like, you know, Adam Curry, by the way, one of the guys that invented podcasting. So that is just, I heard that story, made me smile from ear to ear. Because I remember when Kevin started that podcast and, you know, he's quite the podcaster guy now. He's gone through a series of equipment and bumps and bruises along the way. And speaking of people that talk like this, right, you should, if you're in August, I'm going to be at the Podcast Movement. I'll be speaking there in Dallas, Texas. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/podcastmovement, you can come and meet me there. And I got to say this straight up front. If you know what I look like, or if you hear somebody say, if you see somebody in a Binky and the Wiz t-shirt, because after listening to that story, I'm thinking we need Binky and the Wiz t-shirts. and you see, should I? Yeah, maybe I will. I don't know. If you see me in a t-shirt or you recognize me, please, please do not hesitate to come up and say hello. I really, really, I mean, it's cool to network with other podcasts. I really want to meet you. So do not hesitate on that. But I would bet $5, and I have no idea what that means, that Kevin is going to the UK Podcasters meetup, which is basically the same time in August, and you can find that at ukpodcasters.com or just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/UK Podcasters, and I will have links to all of this out at schoolofpodcasting.com/418.
And now, he threw up after his first public performance, Dave Jackson.
That's right, sixth grade, singing in the choir, and made it through the entire presentation. Got done singing the very last note of the performance and pretty much immediately ran to the side of the stage and upchucked and barfed. And I don't know, you know, I vomited, I hurled, I ralphed, I purged, I puked, I spewed, I regurgitated, I threw up, I tossed my cookies, I lost my lunch. Actually, technically, I more revisited my breakfast. I tossed a sidewalk pizza. I did the Technicolor yawn. I painted the town red and green and orange and pink. And more importantly, I made the janitor get out the old sawdust bucket. So that was, if you think you're not used to speaking in public, apparently in sixth grade, neither was I. And today, what I want to talk about is one of the things I'm really, really worried about is I'm seeing more and more people, because as podcasting becomes more and more popular, more and more people are going to get into it, and they're going to get into it to strictly make money and to make money telling people how to make money in podcasting. And so I wanted to share some stories with you today, because here's what's happening. And it's somewhat disappointing, but we're going to have a lot of these. And that is, number one, we're all like, if I'm not in New and Noteworthy, man, I'm going to like jump off a bridge. And that's not good. New and Noteworthy is not, just hang tight here, okay? But here's what's going on. I see this. I'm in all sorts of different communities, and I'm seeing people say things like this. I'm on my fifth episode, and they're not getting the return that they expected. The whatever they were looking for, they're not quite getting it. And they're like, and I've done five of these things. I'm not making this up. This was in a Facebook group. I've done five, and I'm not really seeing the numbers yet. And now, I don't know if this was daily, weekly. I always assume weekly. And I was just like, it's hard for me not to go, seriously? So I don't want to do this as a, you know, oh, you silly little person, you. You know, I've seen other people say things like, you know, I've been doing it for 3 months and I haven't really quite got the numbers I'm looking for. So I wanted to share some stories with you. All right. So here's one. A small band, they form in 1959. Back in 1959, they played crappy clubs for about 3 years as they kind of build their craft. They changed their names a few times. They decided that the band, that everybody would kind of sing in it. And here's one key point. They were really unique and they stood way out. They looked different. And even though they were very unique and they stood out, they were passed by almost every single record label. In their third year, not month, not day, not week, third year, they had a single that hit the chart that made it all the way to number 17. Now, 4 years after having all four members in place, the band had their first number one single with a little song called Please Please Me. The band, of course, is the Beatles. Now, if you're sitting here listening to the show and saying, who is the Beatles? I'm sorry, you have to leave. Oh, wait, no, right, no. Ringo, John, Paul, and George, Google it now. Jeez, youngins, what are you going to do? Here's another one. A TV show launches in 1989. The show aired, and the network, NBC, offered it to another, to their competitor, said, hey, you want this show? To Fox. And Fox went, nah. Now, the show's schedule was interrupted in 1991 due to the Gulf War. The original pilot was not picked up as a series and was burned off in a summer slot on July 5th, 1989. NBC executives remained high on the show, and they tried it again with four episodes in the summer of 1990. So basically a year later, the low-rated series then left the air for another couple of months and returned in April of 1991. Now, it took 6 seasons for this show to reach the pinnacle that it was. And what was that show? Seinfeld. Now, for those of you maybe outside the U.S., that was like, you couldn't beat Seinfeld on Thursday. Here's another one. This one was, I found amazing. A comedian starts doing stand-up at the age of 20. He gets no respect, I tell you. He quits. Eventually changes his name and his act and comes back 20 years later. Okay? So he performs for 7 years, barely making it. He gets a big break in 1967 and gets on Ed Sullivan. Now, was that his peak? No. But think about that. He performed for 7 years, barely making it, and then finally gets a break on Ed Sullivan. Now, his peak was 13 years later in 1980 when a little movie called Caddyshack. I love Caddyshack. It was a great movie. It was about to be the Masters champion. And who was that comedian? It was, of course, Rodney Dangerfield. 13 years it took that guy to reach the peak of his career. Not 13 days, not 13 months. Okay, Dave, whatever. But what about, let's do something like a little more in our genre. Let's look at, I don't know, people in radio. Okay, Howard Stern, arguably one of the most famous radio personalities in the U.S. He started in 1981. He was syndicated in 1986. 5 years after he started is when he really caught fire and took off. What about Rush Limbaugh? Rush Limbaugh, you ready for this? He started doing radio when he was 16. He played bad music, apparently, and did the typical radio thing where you get fired and this and that. He actually quit for a while and went to work for the Kansas City Royals. He came back to radio in 1984. He wasn't syndicated nationally until 4 years later in 1988. 4 years. Now, your audience is starved for content. There are people out there that are looking, in the case of Kevin's podcast, they were looking for, they love the band Yes. There's nothing on TV about the band Yes. You might find something on YouTube or whatever, but really not a lot of people talking about Yes. And when they found it, just like if you ever feed a stray dog or a cat, and the next time you go out the back door, there's the cat again. You're like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have given you that liver snap. Or what, it keeps coming back. Why? Because you gave it what it was looking for. In this case, food. So when you provide life-changing content, people will talk about your show. When you do it on a consistent basis, people are going to come back for more. And when you do it over time, this grows your audience. There really aren't any shortcuts. There is no giant switch that just gives you 1,000 listeners. People think New and Noteworthy is the giant switch. Keep in mind, if you haven't done your homework, if you haven't created content that people are like, wow, I can't wait to tell my friend, all it's going to do is basically have more people figure out that your show isn't that great. And there seems to be this hurry that I have to release my podcast by August 15th or life will come to an end. What? Let's ask that question. Now, I don't want to, there's the other side of the program is paralysis by analysis. But on the other hand, where's the fire? Let's get it right. Let's get it the best we can, knowing that 20 episodes from now, we're going to look at that first episode and go, ugh. But it does. It takes hard work. And if you want to quit your job in 6 months, I'm here to say it is possible. There are people that have done that. But I'm also here to realistically and lovingly say it's highly, highly improbable. Look, I love podcasting. You know, bring your passion and but you also got to bring your patience. And this is why we say you should be talking about something you just love to talk about, whether you get paid for or not.
Thicken up your skin and get ready for a supersized serving of opinion. Delivering constructive criticism and powerful praise, it's the Podcast Review Show.
Bring the funny or something or entertaining.
When I was listening to it, it's like, hey, donate to the show. And I'm like, whoa, I don't even know the show yet. Slow down there.
You sent me to your individual websites to find your books, where I then had to search again. You know, instead of sending me to your website where I then find your book, put links to your books right there.
The focus on the show was great. I love that about it. I thought the examples that you gave to back up each of the points that you made with each of the points on the lists were great. You gave fantastic examples, which really brought the points to life and showed that it wasn't just theory, that it was actually put to use. And I love the personal style, Anita, that you use when you tell your stories.
You don't have a lot of crutches. And the one I noticed was, we've talked about that before.
That was one that I brought up too, Dave. It was like, I haven't been here before, so the fact that we talked about it before kind of makes me feel left out, like I'm not part of the group. Remember that the audience doesn't have the list. They don't have the notes in front of them. Recap which list we're talking about.
Join in on the conversation via voicemail, email, comments, and polls. It's all at our website, podcastreviewshow.com.
Some news in podcasting I thought I would spotlight. And again, this is where being the old guy, Grandpa Podcast. Kiddies. I've been around. I've seen it. I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Got the Binky and the Wiz t-shirt to prove it. And one of the things that I saw back in the day, I mean, these people were like a gold sponsor of the Portable Media Expo. Had a big old booth and, they looked great. They were awesome. And it was free media hosting from a company called Podengo. And there are others that have tried this as well. And how are they going to make their money? By selling advertisings in your advertisings. Yeah, I guess that would be right. Advertising in your show. And you're going to get paid to host your your podcast with them. That's right. Free hosting and get paid. It's just that easy. Yippee! Okay, well, fast forward years later, Podengo went out of business. If I remember right, they went out of business like 2 weeks before Christmas. And they gave you like 2 weeks to move your stuff, if not 2 days. It was not a lot of time, and people had to scramble. Now, here's the thing. They're saying that, and this company is called audiometric.io. Now, for the record, brand new, like out of the box, like steam coming off. It's so new. And I've had a couple emails with the guys. So I went over and I threw some stuff on it. And that's nice when you have a bunch of, like, if you have like a bazillion podcasts that you don't do anymore, just throw the crap on there. Why not? And it says they will give you a 50-50 split, just like Google AdSense. Ad prices are, these are market-driven to generate better returns. In other words, people can bid on your show. You get complete, you get to pick what ads show or don't show. I believe these are all going to be pre-roll, and you get paid out when you make $100. Now, they're saying that they expect the, and they're doing this on CPM. Now, if you've never heard of that before, I forget what the M stands for, but it's basically cost per 1,000 downloads. So, in other words, if your show, let's say you had 300 people listening to each episode. Well, you take the $16, you divide it by 1,000. That means for every listener, you get 1.6 cents. So you times that by 300 and you will get $4.80 per episode. Let's just call that $5, shall we? So that means to get paid doing this, you will have to do 20 weeks, better known as 5 months of podcasting to get your $100 check. Now, the other thing that's interesting about this is I looked into this. I am 99% sure that they're using Amazon S3 for their hosting. Now, when I used Amazon S3 as a test, if you're a new listener to the show, I test everything and try it and smell it and taste it. And then I come back here and talk to you about it. And everybody looks at Amazon S3 and goes, wow, this is really, really cheap. And then when you throw an episode and another episode and another episode and another episode, and people find your show 38 episodes later and they download the other 37, that adds up. And my last bill with Amazon S3 was a little over $40. So these guys, with just kind of new podcasters, are going to need to generate $38 in revenue to just, you know, keep the lights on. So you would have to have for them to stay in business, and it depends on how you look at this, but if I was saying you had to cover $40 worth of hosting fees, that would be 5,000 downloads, because that calculates to basically $80 a month. And then, of course, they're going to give you 50%. So there's their 40 to keep, just to keep things on. So I wish them all the best. You know, it's interesting. I said this at the beginning of the year that more podcasting companies are going to come on board. And the guy I emailed back and forth seemed good. Now, the one thing that I guess they're coming out with a version 2, there's no about page. There's nothing about this company on their website, a la Podbean. And I said, look, you're asking podcasters to take some of their most prized possessions, which is A, their media, and B, their audience, and put them in your hands, because if you don't deliver the files, they're going to lose their audience. That's not a good thing. And you're asking for us to trust you tremendously, and we don't know a thing about you. So the other thing, you know my criteria, and that is one of the things is don't mess with my file when it comes to media hosting. I recommend Libsyn, Libsyn.com, and Blueberry, Blubry.com. This podcast is on Libsyn. Use the coupon code SOPFREE to get a free month at either of those sites. But I uploaded my file, and sure enough, they whacked the file name. Now, I like that file name. I made it. I asked them, I go, why did you change my file name? Well, because it can't be, it has to stay unique to work in their system. And I'm like, don't think so. Now, they didn't mess with my ID3 tags, which is the information in the actual file. And there's no website that you don't get a website. You just get links to, you basically get an RSS feed to submit to iTunes, which right now, again, you do not have a way to redirect that if you want to leave. So there's strike two. And they do make it somewhat easy to copy the location to your media file and then just stick it in your WordPress blog or whatever you're using. Their stats at this point are ridiculously simple. It just says, here's how many downloads you got. There's no what type of device was used. And some might say, well, do you really need that and where it came from? But in terms of, again, comparing it to other companies that I recommend, yeah. Now, for the person that's like, I want to do it for free. It's just me and Bucky, and we're going to do it in the garage and put out the Two Heads, One Brain podcast, because that's what I want is you, me and Bucky. Here we go, do a podcast. Okay, that would be for you. It's free. Completely free. In fact, they're going to pay you. We're going to make lots of money. Me and Bucky, we're going to do a podcast and we're going to be billionaires. No, you're not. And like I said, it's been tried before. Podango, Podshow, which was Mevio, and then mypodcast.com. That was another free media host that went out of business. Now, again, Podango was back in 2009, I believe, when they went out of business. And, you know, maybe things have changed and the industry has grown. Yeah, they closed their doors on January 1st, 2009. And so hopefully maybe the industry will support something like this there. I hope they have so many advertisers willing to chip in so that we can make some money. That would be awesome. But I'm not holding my breath. And I hope they give people more than 2 weeks notice when it comes time to move all your 70, 80, 90, 100, 417 episodes if you're using them.
Are you the person in charge of your website? Then come check out the Weekly Web Tools podcast at weeklywebtools.com. Each week, we spotlight and review tools. We discuss strategies on web design and promotion. We talk a little SEO, all with the intent of enhancing your website. The Weekly Web Tools Podcast. It's the podcast for the do-it-yourself webmaster. Check it out at weeklywebtools.com.
Nick Loper is a really nice guy. I'm going to pull back the curtain here and tell you what actually happened here. I had seen his book on Amazon called Work Smarter, and it's 350-plus online resources. And it's available on the Kindle, et cetera, et cetera. And we had scheduled up an interview for me to interview him. And when we got together, I thought it was a consulting call, and we had the oddest little beginning of a conversation. And he was like, no, we're going to talk about the book. And I'm like, Oh yeah. Oh, Nick, that Nick Loper. Yes. Okay. And so it was very kind of funny as we did that. And then as I talked to him about his book and heard how he was into podcasting, it's really cool because he's been doing a podcast called The Side Hustle Show. You can find him at sidehustlenation.com. And he kept just dropping gold in my lap from the perspective of somebody who's been doing podcasting for, here we go again, not a week, not a month, a year. So here is my conversation with Nick.
Fair enough.
Awesome. So Nick, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, you bet, Dave. Thanks for having me.
And boy, you've got a lot of things we can tap into here. First of all, let's just plug the book while we're here. The book is called Work Smarter, 350 Online Resources. Today's top entrepreneurs use to increase productivity and achieve their goals. And that's, we were joking before we hit record here that you do need to kind of take a breath before you let that bad boy out, but very, very cool. So give me an example. When you say a resource, what would be one that comes to mind, like the typical?
So some of the top named ones were stuff like Dropbox, stuff like Asana for project management. Evernote was a popular one. Mm-hmm. It's stuff like that. And it's kind of through this process of putting this together, I learned of, dozens of different ones, like browser plugins and different software and websites. And it was just a fascinating experience. And you kind of that joy of discovery in learning a new hack or new tool, that was really cool for me, and hope to share that joy of discovery with the readers.
Does there seem to be a genre that's more like seems to be exploding more than other ones, or are they just kind of all the same? Or
there was a bunch. I mean, it's broken into 20 different categories or something, but some of the most popular categories, since it was focused on a lot of online entrepreneurs, was around content creation, productivity, outsourcing, and online marketing.
What's the word I'm looking for? Is there any kind of judging here? Because I know some of the automated stuff is really, really cool, but it can be kind of used. It's one of those, as long as its power is used for good kind of thing, or it could be very black hat kind of stuff. Did you take that into consideration or?
So I'll share kind of the methodology for building the foundation of this book, actually using a couple of the resources that were named in it. So what I did, or my idea initially, was to create a blog post, and I was going to, this is going to be a viral blog post, it's going to be a hit, this is going to be great. So what I did, I had Fancy Hands, which is a virtual assistant service out of New York, crawl through the Entrepreneur on Fire show notes archives, because at the end of every show, John asks, hey, do you have an internet resource like an Evernote that you're absolutely in love with? And, the guests give their answer, and he includes that in the show notes. So I was like, man, I could kind of do some crowdsourcing here and compile all of these things into a blog post, and it's going to be fantastic. Long story short, 10,000 words deep, and I'm only halfway through. Okay, this is going to be much more than just a blog post. Mm-hmm. And so we had Fancy Hands kind of go through, and they put that into Google Docs for me, and then they translated that into sentence form, and they found all of the descriptions and links and pricing, and they really were a huge lifesaver in building the whole foundation for this thing. And then I went and asked, a few dozen more people for their favorite resources too.
Well, that's awesome, because I've always thought John is missing something, because I would listen to a podcast of just that question.
Like, yeah, you could publish a separate show that's just lightning round.
Yeah, I'm sure, lightning round on fire soon to be coming to it.
I'm sure he'll do it too. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. He's got enough podcasts going. Well, in addition to being an author, you're also a podcaster. You have Side Hustle Nation. So tell us about that podcast.
So this is a podcast I started about a year ago. So I'm a relative rookie podcaster, but it's one of the things I'm really, really high on. So the show kind of profiles a different side hustle or part-time business opportunity each week, or some topic that's relative to people who are trying to build a business on the side, trying to make some money on the side. And it's one of the channels, it's growing, three times faster than the blog is. And so I'm talking to, 300 people a day that I wasn't talking to this time last year. And that's just really, really exciting for me.
Anybody owning a blog right now going, did he say three times faster? Yeah, he said three times faster, and I asked him about it. That is amazing. So how are you tracking the numbers before? Just like web page hits or visits? And or how do you, when you say I'm three times as much, based on what?
I'm looking at like, you know, month one of the blog in terms of page views, and month one of the podcast in terms of downloads, and compared with month 12.
Hmm. Now, do you feel like you're getting a better relationship or a deeper connection with the audience via the podcast?
I mean, that's probably one of the primary benefits, because like this has been probably beat to death, but you know, it's like, how long does it take to read a blog post? You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if it's a long one. But, you know, here's somebody who's going to spend a half hour, 45 minutes with you in their earbuds, and in very much kind of like the completionist mentality is like, I'm going to start one episode and, you know, listen to the end generally. And, you know, then the next episode comes back and I've hit subscribe on my phone. So it just automatically updates for me. And I think it's been a really, really powerful engagement thing for the personal brand and for the Side Hustle site.
I see that you have consulting on your website. People can work with you. Have you seen that increase from the podcast as well?
I don't think I would be able to sell any of the stuff that I do without the podcast. I don't think somebody's going to just come to the site cold and, you know, click the buy now button without that level of personalization. Like Pat Flynn always says, oh, people come up to me, they say, oh, I feel like I know you. And when I jump on these calls and it's like, oh, you know, you sound just the same. Or it's like, mm-hmm. This is your radio voice or whatever. So it's kind of weird in that way, but I really love the scale of it, because it takes the same time to produce and record, you know, an episode that's going out to 10 people or one that's going out to 1,000. So it's really cool.
Well, how long is a typical episode for you?
Generally aim for around a half an hour, but some of them go a little bit longer.
Got it. And then what would you say, start to finish, how much time do you put into an episode?
Yeah, at the beginning, when I didn't know anything about, you know, the audio editing and Audacity and any of that stuff, and I was really concerned about, you know, every little gap and every little and stuff. So it would, you know, probably take 4 hours to produce an episode. But now I've probably got that cut in half or better.
That's about it. Usually I always tell people for a 30-minute podcast, you're probably looking at 2 hours by the time you figure out what you're going to talk about. Then you record it, and then you do maybe a little editing. You write up some show notes. You upload it. It's always the fun part. So you've been doing this a little over a year. When you look back, because that's actually kind of a cool place to be. You said, you know, you're kind of newbie, but, you know, you got a year under your belt. So you've got some experience. You've got a little hindsight now. If you were to start today, what would you do different?
Well, the big thing I try and harp on is to start today, because, you know, a year from now, you're going to look back and wish you started today. You're going to wish you started yesterday. And there's only one way, you know, you can't change the past, but you can put yourself in a position to be a year from now looking at it better. Now, I screwed up a couple things on the show, just technical stuff like switching stereo to mono, or rather not doing that. And so, you know, people are like, oh, you know, I can't only get you in one earbud or something. So it was, you know, some learning curve and some mistakes along the way. But
expand on that, because some people don't believe me when I say this. So did you have, like, you were in one ear and your guest was in the other?
Yes.
And so people said, I only listen with one ear, correct?
Yeah. But, you know, I guess it would be illegal in some states to have both earbuds in the car, mm-hmm. or something. So that would be an example. Or if your output does not support stereo output or something, like, that might be another. But, well, you know, so that was kind of an embarrassing. My first 6 or 7 episodes were messed up like that.
I know I've worked with people that in theory, they're not supposed to listen to music at work, but they can. It's okay if you have one ear in, and that way you can hear the phone or whatever. And so if you have extreme stereo, all they're hearing is the answer. They're not hearing the question, or vice versa.
Right. Just long periods of silence and then somebody going on some rant.
What are you using for equipment at this point?
Just the ATR 2100 and Audacity.
And who do you use for your media hosting?
Libsyn.
There you go. Making all the right. Sounds like you started off on the right track. So that's good.
It's been going okay. I'm excited for it.
Is there anything that you've, like, wow, I didn't know that about your potential audience that now you do know? Any insights on your market that you're like, I didn't realize that?
Well, one thing that's been interesting, and I just implemented this a few months ago, was adding a survey page after somebody opts in for the email list.
Listen to this. Stop and get a pencil. You're going to want to write this down. This is cool. He's talking about let's say you use a company like AWeber, and these email companies, when you sign up, you have to later click, yes, I really want to be on this list. And so they typically direct you to a page that says, check your email. There's an email there and you got to click on the link and blah, blah, blah. So what Nick has done is he's taken that, when somebody says submit, instead of going to this generic landing page, listen what he does.
And so typically when somebody opts in, they'll go to this hideous, you know, AWeber confirmation page that says, it's not even like on your domain. It's on AWeber's site. Right. It says like, thank you. You know, in 3 to 5 minutes, you'll get a confirmation.
Check
email.
Your inbox.
Click
blah,
the button.
Blah.
And I was like, well, this is a big, you know, is this, you know, that's the default, but I guess there's an opportunity to change it. I found out that there was an opportunity to change that. And so I put it to a page that says, hey, you're my new favorite person, and this is going to be awesome. And, you know, this might be a little bit awkward, but in a couple minutes, you know, we've got to kill a couple minutes while this email sends. So in the meantime, would you mind filling out this survey? And it asks, you know, what's your hustle? What are you working on? What's kind of a short-term goal of what does success look like? And then really kind of what's, you know, what's holding you back? And the answers for the what's holding you back have been really, really fascinating. People would say, you know, time, money, resources, I don't have any ideas. I don't know where to start. And it's just been really, really insightful to kind of see from like the real readers, like the real readers and listeners, what's going on.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt him here. Isn't that a great idea? That's awesome. I mean, you can sign up for my newsletter. I don't have anything cool like that set up yet. If you go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/newsletter, and you can have the show notes emailed to you when the show comes out. But we've always said it's always start with your audience. And so Nick is saying, well, tell me what's going on in your world. And that helps him then create content, like we said, that makes people go, oh my gosh, this guy just explained to me how to do this. It's so much easier than I thought, and we're good to go, et cetera, et cetera. And while we're here, I threw this one out on an interview I did today, and I was like, well, that's a pretty good idea. I just made it up on the spot. We've said how your about page is one of the most frequently visited pages on your website because people go and they're like, well, what's this? So they click on the about page. Explain what the podcast is and how they're going to benefit by listening to it. If you have like little snippets, like a little promo code, you could put that there. And normally we're like, yeah, go ahead and listen to it now. Well, since you've kind of got them hot and bothered about the podcast, they're like, wow, this sounds pretty cool. Instead of saying, why not go listen? Why not put your subscribe buttons, additional subscribe buttons there, one for Stitcher, one for iTunes, and one for an RSS feed. Because these are the places, you know, Nick explains here how they're just hanging out for an email. Well, while you're kind of bored, why not fill out this cool survey, which then helps Nick serve his audience better. And here, when you send people to an about page and they're reading this and going, wow, this sounds pretty cool. Why not, while they're going to click on things, substitute a subscribe button instead of a play button or have both? Back to Nick. How do you come up with your headlines, your titles of your posts? Because they're really good.
Are they? I always feel like I get...
Well, I'm sitting here right now going, the self-publishing platform that outsold Amazon. I'm like, really? Somebody out? I'm like, all right, I got to see what that is. And then I see down here, how to get a new podcast to the top of iTunes in 8 weeks with no audience or celebrity guests. I'm like, all right, got to read that one. So you're doing a really good job on that. Is there any kind of mentality that you use to come up with your headline or...
Thank you for that. I read one guy, I think this was Sean Ogle from, I guess it's SeanOgle.com now. He had a post on headlines and it was like, you know, something tangible in a specific time frame and then overcoming some common objection. Like those were his three part formula for a successful headline. So I try and follow that, but it doesn't always work or it gets to be really long.
Well, and you have things here that are like, well, what the heck, like stuck in the rat race? Here's how to find your freedom number. And I'm like, what the heck's a freedom number? So I'm intrigued by that. I'm like, all right, well, I want to find out what my freedom number is. I have no idea. So kudos to that. That's good stuff.
Try and keep it going.
Well, how long did you do the blog before you did the podcast?
Well, that's a weird answer. I'd been blogging on a personal domain for several years, but there was no cohesive theme or message. It was... Here's some, you know, pictures from our vacation and here's some, you know, marketing and entrepreneurship stuff because that's what was going on in my life, but also, you know, here's some random, you know, rant about current events. And so never really attracted any sort of readership that way. And then kind of,
I'm going to interrupt him here. So in a sense, he wasn't sticking to the topic. And you guys know I love to call that chit chat. And he said, doing that, kind of being all over the place, it didn't really direct, you know, an audience to his website. But what did he do? He relaunches and...
I've launched the rebranded blog and podcast pretty much at the same time, spring of last year.
Got it. Now, is this... Because I'm looking at your sidebar here. You have a greatest hits and then your faves. Is that a plugin or is that something that's built into your theme?
That's a plugin. I think it's called...
I'm going to pause that here because it's a very visual thing. What this is on the side of his website, which we call that the sidebar. It has two tabs. One is, and by a tab, I mean, it's just a little like a button to click on. And one says greatest hits and one says my faves. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool because it generates this list for people to look at.
WP Tabber widget.
WP Tabber widget. That's pretty cool. Since we're talking a little bit about your podcast, we're talking about your book. Do you have a can't live without resource?
So the one that I'm really excited about, and this was a huge help in launching the book, has been Text Expander for Chrome. It's a browser plugin where you create your own custom keyboard shortcuts. I'm a really like latecomer to this game. I can't believe I only discovered this like 6 or 8 months ago. But total game changer. I feel like such a productivity ninja when I, you know, type my little 2 or 3 letter, you know, shortcut and it magically like fills in this whole email. Because that's another thing that I do to build engagement is I send a personal email to everybody who subscribes. And this, I guess it's a template driven personal email for full disclosure. So this helps populate the thing. And then I can kind of tweak it based on if they filled in that survey, if I know anything about them, if reportive in the Gmail sidebar, that's another tool that was in the book, you know, shows me anything about them, like where they're located and stuff like that.
So here, when you first start out, as much as I'm like, hey, I'm not an overnight sensation. Yeah, but you can take advantage of that and really connect on a personal level with your audience. And that audience then is going to go out and spread the word about your awesome podcast. Awesome. What's it called again?
Reportive.
Reportive. Got it. And then you said the other one was Text Expander.
Yeah, it's like Auto Text Expander for Chrome.
And it's just a what is it? Let's see, with Chrome, they're what, add-ins?
Yeah, just a free browser extension, browser plugin.
Extension. Got it. Awesome. Yeah, because I know I use a thing called Shortkeys. It's just a little program for PC, and I forget what it's called on. There's one for the Mac. And boy, it's one of those things, once you start using it, like you said, you're like, oh man, why didn't I? Like, if somebody wants to go and promote their show in all the different podcast directories, you can make a short code for your RSS feed, one for your image, one for your description, and pretty much just blow through all those directories in about 10 minutes. It's amazing. You can go through like 50 of those things because they're all going to ask you the same 6 or 7 questions. And if you've got all those answers as a short key or shortcut or whatever you want to call it, it's an easy promotional tip is just to go over to podcast 411 and hit the directory of directories and go to town.
So. Yeah, your buddy Daniel J. Lewis recommended a couple. One was a system-wide one. So it was just beyond just in the browser. It was like a, you know, full system-wide one. I think it was like $30 or something.
Do you have any plans going forward? You're like, okay, now that I'm here and I know that I like this, are you just happy just going to keep doing what you're doing? Or
I'm just excited to keep plugging away at it. One thing that resonated with me was, you know, Pat Flynn has mentioned on his show that some of his best performing episodes aren't the ones with, you know, the Gary Vaynerchuks or the Tim Ferrisses of the world, but they're the ones with the, you know, quote unquote, real people. Mm-hmm. And how they're making it work, you know, how they're making these businesses work either in their spare time or how they, you know, transition into a full-time thing. And so that's kind of been the strategy and kind of trying to find lesser known people, but that have good stories.
Now, how do you go about finding guests for your show?
Just working the network, you know, at the end of a call, who else do you know? You know, who else should I talk to?
That's a huge one. I always forget to do it. And so I was like, oh, you know what? Doggone it. Awesome. Well, everybody, you can check out your podcast again, sidehustlenation.com. And tell us a little bit about your services that you offer over there.
The services are centered around people who want to start a business on the side or they have something going and are looking for some support and ways to grow and expand that. And so that's been my experience in leaving corporate, in building a side hustle in kind of in the online world the past few years. and sharing that quote unquote wisdom with the rest of the world. So there's some coaching options and also a private mastermind group that is capped at 6 or 7 people at a time. And we meet weekly and see how we can help each other out and keep each other accountable.
Now that you've said that here, I thought we were wrapping things up. Because I know some people have been thinking about it. I know Cliff Ravenscraft had a mastermind for a while, and I know Pat Flynn talks about being in masterminds. If somebody's thinking of starting a mastermind, what would be your advice to that person?
So I would try and find people who you might have some connection with, but are not necessarily good friends with, because you're probably not likely to get the true, honest feedback from people who you've known for any length of time. And so a couple ways to go about that would be, you know, kind of trolling the, you know, the comments on some of these, you know, some of these blogs that you're interested in, for example, in reaching out to other commenters, because it's like, hey, if they have made a thoughtful comment and they are operating in a kind of a similar line of work, that might be a good candidate. Maybe they would be interested in joining your mastermind. You're putting the word out on Facebook. Hey, I'm thinking of starting this group. Does anybody know anybody? Something like that. Or you can join any one or any number of the, you know, paid groups that are out there.
Well, again, now I am going to wrap up. I you just said that. And I was like, oh, there you go. Let's give me some insight on that. So again, check out Nick over at SideHustleNation.com. Nick, so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And there you go. So yeah, the book again, if you want to check that out. And think about this. How many times have you listened to John Lee Dumas's show? And he does have that thing like, do you have any tools that you just can't live with? And you're like, man, I need to write these down. And basically Nick went over, wrote them down, actually had somebody from fancyhands.com. It's a virtual staff people where instead of paying them by the hour, you get like 5 tasks for $25. And I'll have links to that out at schoolofpodcasting.com/418. And Nick had somebody assemble them all, put them into a book, and he's selling it for $8.99 as I look at it here on Amazon. And pretty cool idea, pretty nice guy, and I really enjoyed talking to him. And again, you can find him at just SideHustleNation.com. So Nick, thanks so much. And that is going to do it for this episode, because I need to get back on my task of getting my website back up. I've been beating the doors of my media host, which in this case is HostGator, not really their fault. They're actually doing their job because it's people like me that make your website slower, because I just got too much dang traffic. And so I'm in the process of moving and upgrading and fixing and all sorts of fun stuff. So be patient for the next couple days. Yeah, I'm hoping this will be up and this will be out on Monday. So, but at this point, I'm probably not going to have my website at least up till Saturday, worst case Sunday, even worst case would be Monday. But thanks so much. Like I said, it's kind of a good problem to have. It's embarrassing to have your people just email after email going, do you know your website's down? And so is your other one and your other one and your other one. So want to say that if you, you've heard this, you're like, well, I do have a blog. I'd like to have more interaction with my audience. Maybe I should start a podcast. And my answer is, yeah, maybe you should. And especially if you have the right expectations. We talked about that today. What are your expectations when you get into? Because if you're looking for a 6-month way to quit your day job, I'm telling you, there's the needle in the haystack that does that. But for most really talented people, it takes years to develop your audience. So bring your passion, bring your talents, bring your history, your experience, your personality, but you better bring your patience as well. And realize that it's not always about quitting your day job. On the podcast review show over at podcastreviewshow.com. And if you want reviewed, go over to podcastreviewshow.com/review me. We just reviewed Kathy Kelly. It's a great episode. And you can hear, here's somebody who is starting a podcast because she has a passion, which is she's a nurse and she wants to help people who have special needs people, but they still want to go to Disney parks. So she knows the ins and outs and all the shortcuts and ways to have an enjoyable time and to make a great time for everyone. As she says, the magic is for everyone. And she's got 2 sponsors. She doesn't have a ginormous audience, you know, and it's not always about the gigantic numbers. It's not always about being new and noteworthy. It's about connecting with your audience with valuable information that they go, oh my gosh, I got to tell my friend about this. So I would love to help you develop that information. I would love to help develop your website and help you get the right podcasting equipment without spending $2,000 on stuff that you go, you mean I don't need that? No. No, really just needed a microphone, but it's cool that you got all that stuff. You can always sell it on eBay for about half of what you paid for it. You know, I'm going to make sure you don't do that mistake. And I'm going to show you all the stuff that he was talking about with mono and stereo. All those kind of tips and tricks are in the School of Podcasting. So because you've been listening to the show, it's my way of saying thank you. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER. And also, if you don't have a website yet, send me an email with the subject line Quick Start. And basically what happens is I send you a link to order hosting and I earn a commission from that. Then when you get your, hey, welcome to the hosting people company, you forward that to me. I'll install WordPress for you and install all the plugins to get you going with podcasting. Plus, I will give you a free month at the School of Podcasting. So if you're interested in that, again, send me an email. And that email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com with the subject line Quick Start. So I hope to see you on the inside. If you're going to Podcast Movement, I will see you in August. And until then, let me remind you that it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And I hope to see you on the inside. Take care and God bless.